Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me! How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
No.
good afternoon, and praise God. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries Power Lunch with Jesus in the Word. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And before we go any further, let's just welcome the Holy Spirit to this broadcast on today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to come to you today and say thank you, Lord. We want to thank you and bless you and praise your name on this day for allowing us to see another day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For this day was not promised to us, but God, in your grace and your mercy, you allowed us to see this another day. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings today, God, in the name of Jesus. Transgressions and iniquities, we ask your forgiveness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray today that, hallelujah, we will spring clean our houses today, Lord God, that we will spring clean ourselves spiritually, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we will cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of our flesh and our spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit will come into this broadcast, come into me as I teach this word, oh God. Let it not be me, but let it be your Holy Spirit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. For your word is spirit and your word is truth, Lord God, and we must worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, it is your word, Lord God. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we want your word to come forth today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Anything not of you, Lord God, we bow and rebuke it in the name of Jesus, Father God, not only in me, Father God, but, Father, in the chat room and then on the airwaves, on the phone line too, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up any person to you who may be listening today, Lord God, Tuesday, March the 20th, 2012, who may be listening, Lord God, at a later date in the archives. We pray for them, Lord God, if they are not born again, that they will receive, Lord God, the call of salvation on today, Lord God, that they will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that they will confess the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart, Lord God, that God raised Jesus from the dead and they shall be saved, Lord God. We thank you for those today who shall be saved, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for those who shall be saved, who the spiritual blindness will come off of their eyes today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everyone right now, Lord God, who's turning away from alcohol, from fornication, from adultery, from lying, from stealing, Lord God, from witchcraft, Lord God, from idolatry, from homosexuality, lesbianism, Lord God, secret sins, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for them turning away from it today because of your word, Father God, and because of your anointing, which destroys every yoke, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor for this right now, Father. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need y'all to pray for Evangelist Teresa today. Hallelujah. Because I've been trying to be afflicted in my body for the last few days. And because of the grace of God and my faith in him, I've been able to rise up and do what I need to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I just need you to say a prayer for Evangelist Teresa Scott today. Hallelujah. Because we know the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know that he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. I am healed from sin. I am healed from sickness and disease. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, and if you didn't join us on yesterday, we were talking about King David, and we were reading over, you know, the very famous Psalm 51. I have not been able to shake that psalm ever since we read it. I have not been able to shake some of the things that God had revealed on yesterday pertaining to this particular psalm and the situation that preceded this prayer of repentance. And having read over it again, I was reading in chapter 11. Hey, praise the Lord, Brother Dre Jackson. Glad to have you on today. If you like, you can call in the phone line. If you have anything to say or add to the broadcast on today, the number is 323-693-3054. That is for you or for anybody else who would join us in the chat room and on the phone line, whoever is listening. Hallelujah. On the live call, that's not on the phone line, but if you're listening, if you like the call, the call-in number to speak to the hostess is 323-693-3054. You must press the number 1 if you'd like for me to put you on the air live. Glory to God. I'd be more than happy to do so. Anyway, so I was saying, I was reading over the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, and it's so funny how we just take scripture and we just, you know, take portions of the scripture and we run with that instead of taking the whole scripture. Please keep in mind that our foundation scripture for today is coming from 2 Corinthians 7:1, talking about spring cleaning. But I wanted to revisit this thing with David on yesterday because like I said, people take scripture and they just run with it, you know, and instead of researching what happened, why did David even, you know, have that prayer in Psalm 51? What really, really happened? So what I want to do is, and then we'll talk about the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, but what I want to do is, we have a little bit of time, so I want to go ahead and read chapter 11, and I would ask that those of you who are listening, whether you're listening live right now or if you're listening in the archives, that you would get a piece of paper and pencil and write the scriptures down so that you may refer back to them. So you, God can give you an understanding of what his word is saying, and you will know that this is not something that Teresa Scott, Evangelist Teresa, Pastor Teresa, whatever you want to call me, okay, is not making this up. This is the word of God, the unadulterated word of God. And I want to point out some specific things in the word of God. And again, Brother Dre, if you have anything you'd like to add to it, please feel free to do so. My husband, I'm waiting for him to get in the chat room. I guess he'll be in there in a few minutes. So he can add some commentary. If not, maybe he'll just call from his cell phone. So we're going to start reading at 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says, David's sin against Uriah. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from his bed. Okay, listen to this scripture. David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Very beautiful to look upon. Lestrias. And David said and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So David sent somebody to ask who she was. He found out who she was. He sent for her anyway and brought her to him. Okay, she had just got finished her women's monthly thing, okay, her menstruation, and so she was no longer unclean, all right? So David went and sent for her, brought her into her house, made out with her, and verse 5 says, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Now, we know it didn't happen, boom, bam, bang, okay, she got pregnant. She got pregnant right at that moment, but we know it took a minute for her to realize that she was pregnant. Okay. But it says that a woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David said in verse 6, David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. He wanted to know what was going on with the war. In verse 8, and David said unto Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. Now, you know, King David's still in guilty here, trying to get Uriah to sleep with Bathsheba. In verse 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine own house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Man of honor, okay? And David said to Uriah in verse 12, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him and did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk, and at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the front, in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. Do you not hear this? Do you not hear this? It says David wrote the letter, sent it to Joab by Uriah, and he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Know ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech the son of Jerubasheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent for him. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevail against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon the servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fed her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Okay. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. We read what happened. David looked at Bathsheba. He got up out of his bed, went to the rooftop, and was checking out Bathsheba. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh has entered the scene. Okay? David started making his plans from there. Now, on yesterday's broadcast, we were talking, I believe it was yesterday's broadcast, when we sin willfully most of the time. We sin willfully. I'm not talking about something we forgot, honestly. God told us to do something, and we honestly forgot to do it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about willful sin. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there's no temptation taking us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape for us so we may be able to bear it. Okay? I paraphrased that so it didn't come out exactly right, but if temptation come, God makes a way of escape. The Bible also teaches us, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, because God tempteth no man. Okay? Neither can he be tempted. So David had the opportunity right then and there, when he saw Bathsheba, to take his little horny self back downstairs and get in his bed. He had the opportunity to pick any other woman that he wanted to pick, okay, including those in his own household. He had the opportunity to do that, but David did not. He took the thought process that he was having while he was lusting after Bathsheba, and he followed through on his thought process and called her unto his house. Now, when he called her unto his house, he could have still said, this is wrong. I should not be doing this. This is the wife of Uriah, because remember, he inquired as to who she was, and they said to him, that isn't this the wife of Uriah? So now that you know that, you still have the chance to not commit sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the Ten Commandments. You still have the chance not to do it King David, but because you saw with your eyes and you lusted with your eyes, you lusted with your flesh, you acted on your thought process, you continued the process by calling her into your home and then sleeping with her in your bed. Then she became pregnant, told you she was pregnant, then you have her husband killed because he was a man of honor and refused to sleep with his wife while he was still engaged in a battle, even though you told him he could. Now, all of this stuff piling up, piling up, piling up. David said nothing. David said nothing. David said nothing. He devised a plan of wickedness to have Uriah killed because of something that he got caught in. Had Bathsheba not gotten pregnant, I do not believe that he would have had Uriah killed because there would have been no reason to have Uriah killed. But he got her pregnant. So it was going to be known anyway that David slept with Uriah's wife. But David didn't want Uriah to know that he slept with his wife, so he had Uriah killed. So you got the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I'm the man. I can have whoever I want. You call her into your home. You sleep with her. Then you have her husband killed. Okay? I counted six things right there. Sin begets sin, people. Sin begets sin. Sin begets sin. You telling a little lie, as you call it, a little lie, that lie is going to lead to something else. You're going to have to cover up that lie. You're going to forget you told that lie. You're going to have to tell another lie to cover that one up. By the time you get finished lying, nobody wants to hear anything you have to say because now you're known as a liar. So nobody really wants to hear what you have to say because you're the biggest liar coming. Okay? Stealing. You stole a pencil. I just want to say this over and over again. You stole a pencil from the job. Oh, it's just a pencil. Okay, well, now you stole a pencil. Now what you going to steal next? Okay, now it's not so hard for you to steal a box of pencils. Now it's not so hard for you to steal a box of pencils and pens. Now you're taking a pack of paper. Now you're taking ink from the police. Now if you know where the money is, you're taking money from the police. I mean, whatever it is, sin begets sin. Sin begets sin. If we don't repent of our sin, David could have repented of lusting after that woman when he saw her. When he got up out of his bed and went up there and saw her on the roof, he could have said, oh, Lord, I repent, and ran back in and got in his bed. But he didn't. He committed sin over and over again, repeatedly. And then, you know, he got the man killed, and, you know, he goes through all of these motions or whatever. And then if you continue reading in chapter 12, it says, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. See, he had other women that he could have slept with besides Bathsheba. He had other wives that he could have slept with besides going up there lusting after somebody else's wife and sleeping with her. Okay, in verse 8. And gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, God said, if that wasn't enough, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. And has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. So they going to lie with your wife in the daytime. Everybody going to see it. For thou didst this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. How be it? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that also is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into the house, and the Lord strake the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth, and the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. They then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Now, you heard all of that? You heard all of that. This is why we need to do spiritual spring cleaning. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. David hadn't cleansed himself. He was lusting with his eyes. He was lusting in his flesh. And what David wanted, David went and got. David wanted Bathsheba. He went and got Bathsheba and caused a whole lot of problems for his family. He caused a whole lot of problems for himself and his family. He caused his son died. His wife was messed up behind him. She was crying. I mean, you lose a loved one, especially a baby, it's nothing that compares to that. Okay? I thank God I never had to deal with that, but I can kind of think I would know, you know, I would be messed up if one of my kids died. But David brought this upon himself. And David said out of his own mouth, the man that did this thing when Nathan was talking to him said, he shall surely die. But God spared David's life. God spared David's life. His son died, but God spared David's life. But if you look at David's story, you will see how it was so much hell in David's house. The son raped Tamar, and then Tamar, she was despised and rejected of men because now she was dirty. She was unclean because she was raped by her brother. I mean, the son was trying to kill the father. All kind of crazy stuff was going on in that family because of what? It started with the lust of the eyes, the filthiness of the flesh, the filthiness of the flesh. This is why God is talking to us today about spring cleaning. We need to get it together. We need to get our house in order. We need to make sure that what we say lines up with the word of God says. We need to make sure that what we do lines up with what the word of God says. It's not about us and what we think and what we want and what we think it's supposed to be like, but it's about the word of God. It's about the word of God. It's about the Holy Spirit coming in, allowing the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh, because our flesh is enemy against God. Anything that we do in the flesh does not please God. The flesh cannot please God. It never did. It never will. If you look in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, where our forefathers sinned, where Adam sinned, when he partook of the fruit that his wife offered him, he sinned. It was his flesh that caused him to sin. He was not walking in the spirit. He was walking in the flesh. God told him he couldn't eat of that fruit of that tree, but he ate it anyway because it was offered by his wife. But he did not follow the command of the Lord God. Some people say God gave Eve the command too when he walked with her in the garden. I don't know if he gave it to her or not. I know he told the man not to eat that fruit, and the man ate it anyway. And now because of that, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, here we stand today in need of a Savior. Here we stand today, hallelujah, having to receive Jesus as Lord as our Savior because of the fall of man in the beginning, because of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Are we lusting off of anything today that we should not be lusting after? Is there anything that our eyes are looking at that we should not be looking at? Is there anything that we're looking at with our flesh? Is there anything we're doing in our flesh? Anything that we're desiring in our flesh that is not godly? Anything that is not that is in our flesh is not of God anyway. Anything that is in our flesh, God is not pleased with that anyway. God wants us to walk in the spirit. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. There's so many people walking around worshiping God in their head. They're worshiping him off of their emotions. God said, worship me in spirit and in truth. And we need to cleanse ourselves today from the filthiness of our flesh and the filthiness of our spirit. Some of us are so messed up spiritually, it's ridiculous. Some of us in the spirit are walking around like the hunchback of Notre Dame. We're walking around hunchback, bent over, crooked, like Avon, the word Avon, crooked, bent over, looking like that in the spirit and think we're standing upright and think we're all right with the Lord. But we need to do some spiritual house cleaning. We need to repent. We need to confess of our sins. We need to tell God, look, I did thus and such. Yes, I did it, God. And Father, I repent. I'm sorry I did it. God, I'm sorry because I offended you. God, I'm sorry because I hurt you. God, I love you, but God, will you please accept my apology? Will you please accept me, Lord God, and forgive me for my sins. God, I cleanse myself from lusting. I cleanse myself from the lust of the flesh, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I ask you in the name of Jesus to come into me right now. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to abide in me right now to help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh, because the deeds of my flesh work of death, and I do not want to die in my sin. I do not want to die spiritually and be set apart from my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. I mortify lust. I mortify lying. I mortify stealing. I mortify anything that is not of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into me. When I wake up in the morning, we should be praying for the Holy Spirit to come into us in the morning to lead us and guide us into all truth in the morning. We should say, Holy Spirit, I need you today to guide me. I need you to guide me in the word. I need you to guide me in prayer. I need you to guide me today because I do not want to displease my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And don't you know the Holy Spirit will come? The Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will come. And let me tell you something. We are people who live in the flesh. There's somebody put a song out that we are not natural beings living a spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings living a natural experience. So meaning that we are a triune being, okay? Just like God, he created us in his image. We are triune beings. We have a body, but we are a spirit and we have a soul and we live in a body. Hallelujah. This body that we live in right now is our temporary shelter. This is our temporary shelter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we are spiritual beings and we need to transform our minds with the renewing of it with the word of God. It's going to take the word of God to renew our minds, because in the book of John, St. John 3, when Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, he said, how can we be born again? Because Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, how am I be born again? He said, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? How am I be born again? Okay, and Nicodemus was a great teacher, so he wasn't stupid. So he said, but Jesus, how can I be born again? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, no, you can't do that, but you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. This is why we're teaching today that we must cleanse the filthiness of our flesh. We must be clean. We must come on and be truthful and say, God, I have sinned. I'm having a problem in this particular era. Lord, I'm having a problem with anger. I'm having a problem with lying. I'm having a problem with whatever. Lord, I'm looking at this girl and she look good. Lord, I'm having a problem with this. Lord, I'm looking at things on television that I have no business looking at. God, I need you to help me, oh God. Father, I'm thinking things that I have no business thinking. Father, I need you to help me today. And don't you know that because God loves us so much, he will help us because we're calling on him out of a pure heart. We're calling on him and asking him to help us with this thing that we just can't seem to get a grip on. But see, we got to go. We got to take this word of God. We got to eat this word of God. We got to meditate on this word of God. We got to keep this word of God before us day and night. We watch more television than we ever read the word of God. We do other things more than we do. We spend time in the word of God. And it's the word of God that changes us. It's the word of God that gives us a new mind in Christ. Because for real, our flesh don't even know who God is. Our flesh don't know who Jesus is. Our flesh does not know who the Holy Spirit is. We got to discern that by the Spirit, and it is our spirit man that needs to be reborn. Hallelujah, glory to God, because we can't do nothing with this flesh. We can't do anything with this flesh. We got to be born on the inside. I wish my husband was on the line so he could help me. I'm finding scripture. The outside of the cup, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the outside of the cup is clean. Yeah, y'all all looking good on the outside, but your heart is messed up. Your heart is messed up. Do some spiritual spring cleaning. Come on, get rid of the filthiness of your flesh. On the outside, you look good to everybody. Yep, you can preach very well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can teach very well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But what about the inside? Hallelujah. See, because we can't see the inside of each other's heart. We can't see the inside. We can't see that. But God knows, hallelujah, God looks at the inward man. While man is looking at the outward appearance, God is looking at the inward man. And he's looking at us, and we're going to have to answer for everything we do in this body. Everything we do, we're going to have to answer for it. Believe it when I tell you, we're going to have to answer for it. Glory to God, hallelujah. And Ed Yemaya, welcome to the broadcast and praise creation. Thank you for being here today. And Ed Yemaya is saying, there is no repentance, no returning to the word as it is from the beginning. All that the Most High has sealed with his name is to be revered as righteousness. He says, let's make that plain. There is no repentance, lest we return to the word as it is from the beginning. I'm sure I don't understand it. He said there is no repentance. There is repentance. We do have to repent of our sins. We do have to repent of our sins. Even though we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we do have to repent of our sins because we sin. We sin, and repent means to turn away from it. Turn away from it. Change your mind about it. Change your way of thinking about it. We need to stop doing whatever it is that we've been doing that Jesus was nailed to the cross for, that Jesus took those stripes and was wounded for, that he was bruised for. Those things he took. He took that. Jesus took that upon himself so that we don't have to live any longer in sin. If you turn to the book of Romans, it tells us very plainly, turn to the book of Romans. We should not have to continue to live in sin. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace that may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. Bid. I love the book of Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer than therein? How shall we that are dead to sin? See, those key words right there that says dead to sin, dead to sin. Dead to sin. If we are dead to sin, we will not live any longer therein. We can't. How can we live in sin if we're dead to it? Verse 3, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over thee. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not? I love this. I love this. I love this. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Paul is saying, don't you know that? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? That whoever you yield your member servant to obey, that's who your servant is, you're a servant of. If you yield your servants to obey, if you yield your body to obey that which pertains unto Satan, then Satan is your master. You are Satan's servant. How clear can that be? You are Satan's servant if you're obeying Satan. If your lifestyle is that of living sinful, everything you do is sinful. Every day you sin in the same darn sin. You keep doing the same thing. You got a problem with lust. You keep lusting. You keep masturbating. You keep going around hiding with those porno magazines. You keep going to these porn clubs. You keep doing all these things and think people don't see you, but God does. You keep lying. You keep going around starting trouble over here. You starting trouble over there. You starting trouble over there. You character assassinating somebody over here. You tearing this brother down, this sister down over here and over there. You're doing all of this stuff. But you think God doesn't see it. It's still sin. No matter what you do, it's still sin. And if you continue to yield yourself as a servant to sin, then that you're a servant of the devil. There's no way that you can be a servant of sin where you're constantly living in sin. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes and we don't do things wrong. I'm saying if you're constantly living in sin, you are a servant of sin, and you better check your salvation and make sure that you really are born again. This goes from me to whoever. Make sure that you are born again. Because there is no way, there is no way we can side with the devil and still say we're walking with God. There is no way that we can consciously be aware of sin and still do it and still say that we're walking with God. You might be fooled, but God is not fooled. You might be blinded, but God is not blinded. Galatians 5:1, I believe it says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Who had bewitched you? Who done came in here and deceived you? Who done came in here and tricked you? Somebody done came in here and told you something different than what we've been preaching. Who has come in here and told you something different than what we're talking? No, Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what Galatians 5:1 says. Galatians 3:1 says, O foolish Galatians. Galatians 3:1 says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who have bewitched you? Then he says, this only what I learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? This is what Paul asked. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? And the Bible does warn us about the small foxes. It's the small things that eat up the vine. And there's so much going on in the chat room right now, I can't even get to all of that that's going on in the chat room right now. But what I am trying to tell us is that we need to do spiritual house cleaning. We need to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of our flesh and from the filthiness of our spirit. We just read in Galatians, it says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Our flesh cannot please God at any time. Our flesh cannot please God at any time. Our flesh cannot please God at any time. We might want to make excuses for our flesh, but our flesh cannot please God at any time. There is nothing in our flesh that pleases God. Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because our flesh is enmity. Those that live in the flesh cannot please God, the scripture says. And I'm about to look that up for you right now. Those that live in the flesh cannot please God. Because the flesh is an enmity. And I can't talk and type, y'all, but cannot please God. Those that Romans 8. Let's just flip over. We were just reading in Romans 6 before we went to Galatians. But let's read Romans 8, because it's not what Teresa says. Teresa, I don't have anything to say other than what the Word of God says. And when I'm talking to everybody, I'm talking to Teresa first. I'm talking to Teresa first. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh. I'm asking him to help me to mortify this quick little temper that I have. I'm asking God to mortify the deeds, help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh through the Holy Spirit, so that I won't be so quick to let things irk me. And I can say that about myself because God already knows. So I'm not trying to hide. I'm not trying to hide. God already knows my sin. God already knows my weakness. God already knows what I'm struggling with in my flesh. But that doesn't mean that I set out purposely to go and, okay, I'm just going to sin today. I'm just making up my mind that I'm going to get up today, and I'm just going to sin today because that's what I want to do. No, that's not, no. And I can no longer blame what I do on anybody in my family. I can't blame my mother. I can't blame my father. I can't blame my DNA, you know, from my grandmothers or my grandfathers. I can't blame anybody for what I consciously do. I can't blame God for putting me in the situation that I'm in. I can't blame my husband. I can't blame my grandchildren. I can't blame my children. I can't blame nobody but Teresa. Why is that? Because when Teresa sins, Teresa is the one that sins. Okay? When Teresa sins, Teresa is the one that sins. When you sin, you're the one that sins. Okay? The Bible says 6 things the Lord hates. Yea, 7 is an abomination unto him. Okay? Honey, find that scripture for me, please. But let's read Romans 8 because we're supposed to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We want to read Romans chapter 8 just a little bit. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So if you're walking after the Spirit, there is no condemnation. If you're walking after the Spirit, there is no condemnation. Okay? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you really are in Christ Jesus, this is why we got to do spiritual house cleaning. This is why we got to do spiritual spring cleaning, because we need to examine ourselves to see whether we really are in Christ Jesus. Because this scripture says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Not of Christ Jesus, who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, there's that word again, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh,
He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus was not sinful, but he was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they, this is a verse, for they that are after the flesh, what? Do mind the things of the flesh. If you're in the flesh, all you're worrying about stuff that's in the flesh. You're doing stuff that are in the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Verse 7, mark it down in your Bible, highlight it, color it. I don't care what you do. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Can I get an amen? This is the word of God here. This is the word of God here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Verse 8, so them that are in the flesh cannot please God. Time to do some house cleaning. Today is the first day of spring. We need to go ahead and clean house. We need to clean house. Clean house. We need to clean house. Brother Ed Yamaya, it looks like we're going to have you on another day because we're all in the chat room trying to go on with that whole discussion, and we want to do spiritual house cleaning. We want to rid ourselves of the filthiness of our flesh through the word of God. We want to make sure that we are living according to the word of God. We want to make sure that we're walking in holiness and true righteousness. We want to make sure that we're not following after King David, and one sin is committed, then you commit another sin, then you commit another sin, then you commit another sin, then you commit another sin. We want to make sure. We want to make sure that our righteousness is in line with God's righteousness. Our righteousness in our flesh, our righteousness is that of filthy rags. Our righteousness is that of filthy rags. So our righteousness, what we think of righteousness in and of ourselves, is like filthy rags to God. Okay? We have to make sure that what we say and what we do lines up with the word of God. That's the bottom line. Y'all can debate. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. What we have to do is make sure that we line up with the word of God. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Brother Dre put in there earlier, if we say we don't sin, we lying. If we say we don't sin, we're telling a lie. So if we do sin, then we do need to repent. If we do sin, we do need to ask God to forgive us. Yes, Jesus did everything he going to do. He already went to the cross. He was already wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yes, this is all true, but we still have a sinful nature. Our sinful nature is still a part of us. We're still who we are. But we have to be born again. The whole point of this thing is that we need to be born again. Yes, we believe God raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. But we have to cleanse ourselves in the flesh and in the spirit with the word of God. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We have to conform. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the word of God and be not conformed to this world. But so many of us are conforming to this world instead of being transformed by the word of God. We're being transformed by what we see on this television. We're being transformed by what we hear on the radio. We're being transformed by what we see in the movies instead of being transformed by the word of God. We don't want to renew our minds with the word of God because we know if we renew our minds with the word of God, that means there has to be a change. Some people are so comfortable in who they are and what they do, they don't want to change. 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 But God is calling us today to change. God is calling us to change. God is calling us to change. God is calling us to change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And one thing that I do want to say is that we will not have distraction in the chat room because God is trying to get his word across. And if you want to have distraction in the chat room, you got to go get your own show. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm saying all of this other stuff is distraction. If you want to teach, you can contact me on Facebook and let me set you up to be on a broadcast, but all of this other stuff is a distraction, and in the name of Jesus, I ask you to stop it because the word of God is trying to go forth through this vessel who God has called to go forth on this day. When it's your time, it will be your time. I do not like distraction. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Now, having said that, we need to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh. We need to make sure that we're living according to the word of God. We need to make sure, like Jesus said, make sure the inside of the cup is clean. The outside might be washed out. It might be all clean and everything. The outside look all good, but the inside is filthy and dirty. I know sometimes when I drink my coffee, right, I leave my coffee cup, and I'll probably walk away from it. Sometimes I'll be truthful. I leave my coffee cup next to my bed. I'll leave it there. I might not take it to the kitchen the same day. But the next day, I'll take my coffee cup to the kitchen. Well, by the time I get my coffee cup to the kitchen, the coffee is at the bottom of the cup is all black. But the outside of the cup looks okay. It looks okay. You know what? We are out of time. I cannot believe we are so out of time. We are out of time. I can't believe this. But guess what? Jesus is Lord. If the Lord says so, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Glory to God. And we will continue this conversation about cleaning up spiritually and cleaning up this flesh, this spring cleaning. Glory to God. For those that are listening that are not saved, if you are not saved, I ask you to read Romans 10:9-10. I ask you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead so that you can be saved. If you have any questions, feel free to hit me up on Facebook, Teresa, God is making me over again, Scott, or you can call me on tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Honey, I love you. God bless you, Brother Dre. God bless everybody in the chat room today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise creation. Ed, Yemaya. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you all. Have a great day. Hallelujah.